It is America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program, heard on listener-sponsored digital radio. Around the world, the web at NahumSiegel.com, on the Nahum Siegel Network, and of course on the beloved NSN app. Theme song. Could you imagine? He's got his own entrance music. I'm referring, of course, to Rabbi Yehoshua Fast, the co-founder of Nefesh B'Nefesh. When you hear this song from Lenny Solomon, you know Rabbi Fast is not going to be too far behind. Rabbi Fast, it is a pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
Thank you so much. It is a delight to be on the show.
I appreciate that. The last time we were together, you were kind enough to invite me and my family up on the Nefesh B'Nefesh float, Fifth Avenue, New York City, just a few Sundays ago. I hope that your contingent from Israel felt the love. I hope you were able to garner a little bit of the feeling that people in New York have toward it. We may not be there yet, but I hope you were able to feel that there is, in fact, a great spirit regarding Israel in this area.
The spirit was remarkable over the last, I think, the last 20 years being participating on a float for Nefesh in the parade. Even though it was like hermetically sealed by the police, the crowds were just so supportive and so incredibly energized.
Yeah, no question about it. Hey, there are some people here on this side of the world who understand and who constantly declare that the future of the Jewish people is in the state of Israel. I could spend some time this morning complaining to you that not enough of our leaders are going along with that and making sure to make that public statement that the future of the Jewish people is in the state of Israel. But Rabbi Fass, I can't have you worry about what's going on here when you have so much going on there and you're trying your best to stay focused on the holy work of Nefesh B'Nefesh. I mean, how much can I put on your plate, Rabbi Fass?
Oh, keep on putting.
So you join me. You join me then, I don't want to say to criticize, I wouldn't be fair, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you join me in encouraging Jewish leadership on this side of the world to understand and realize and to tell their congregants and followers that the future of the Jewish people is in the state of Israel.
Absolutely.
You have a couple of, well, I don't know about a couple, but you have at least one big international trip coming up. I don't know if that's under wraps or something you could speak about publicly or not. Is that something we can discuss this morning or not?
Sure, we can speak about it.
So next week you're heading to South America, and when you travel, and certainly when you travel with your Nefesh hat on, it is almost always, if not always, to literally participate in an official event that will help familiarize people with their options regarding Aliyah. The most well-known of these that I'm describing obviously takes place here in this area, but you did one in Paris, France recently that got a lot of notoriety and certainly got great reaction. Is that what's happening in South America? Are you going to Argentina literally to hold some type of Aliyah fair?
We are going to Argentina to continue promoting and helping facilitate the licensing of medical professionals for Israel with our partners at Mishrad Aliyah V'Klita and the Ministry of Health and the Jewish Agency. We are going literally country to country where there's a concentration of physicians and helping them accelerate the licensing approval for physicians, placement within hospitals and clinics here in Israel. And it's just been overwhelmingly, remarkably inspiring. I'm going from New Jersey with a few hundred physicians and medical professionals and jumping to France where we had 500 medical professionals come to France, which was my first time in Paris, and now going to Buenos Aires this week. And we already have 107 physicians who are signed up to come with paperwork on July 7th, I think. Yeah, July 7th. And it's just increasing by the day. And it's just absolutely remarkable to see the interest in moving to Israel of that caliber of individuals who want to come and leave their practices and help further strengthening the Israel's health system and infrastructure. It's going to be exciting. And it takes like 2.5 days to get there.
Right.
So we can't leave. So we have to leave Wednesday to get there by Thursday afternoon, and because you can't get in before Shabbat. And then the events on Sunday. It's a lot of traveling for a very special day, but I'm very much excited.
I don't even know if this is a fair question because, again, you've been concentrating so much in this area when it comes to the medical personnel in New York and New Jersey and, of course, the rest of the United States, in Paris, as you mentioned now, Buenos Aires. I mean, I would have been surprised, frankly, that those are the place, not here, but Argentina, certainly. I would be surprised that those are the places that, you know, are being targeted because of a concentration in Jewish or an interest in Aliyah medical personnel. I mean, what else is on the list? Like, do we even know where the next country, the next city would be that you would travel to if you would continue along this direction?
Yeah, so in September, I think we'll do one in London. And I think before the end of the year, around November, we'll probably be in California.
Wow.
And then we have to find a way to schedule South Africa and Australia. But I do not think we'll do that in 2024. But we've seen overwhelming response to this project in the countries that I just listed. And we're just getting our feet wet, and we're miles ahead of where we thought we would be after just a few months of launching this program. And there's a lot of work to do.
And I'm really jumping ahead by asking this, but I'm just curious that, I mean, some of the places you mentioned, it won't be as easy as some of the other places you've already started to make inroads, right? I mean, some of the places might come along with a lot of red tape for those who are actually trying to leave the country and make Aliyah.
100%. They're two different challenges. We have the cultural, political nuances within each of the countries that we have to navigate. And on top of that, the different licensing requirements from the Ministry of Health. So every single country, we're learning not only the lay of the land, but also the lay of the licensing groundwork. So it's a lot to learn, but it's a real privilege to be part of this remarkable national project. So it's very exciting. And it's also winter in Argentina, so looking forward to having Shabbos at 5:30 in the cold. And it's crazy that we're packing winter clothes.
You're going to start Shabbos in the 5 o'clock hour. Because it's literally the dead of winter. Because here it's the middle of the it's literally the dead of winter. My gosh, so yeah, you got to dress properly. And the next time, please plan to be there for Tisha B'Av because that would have made the fast about 4 hours shorter. Rabbi Yehoshua Fass is with us. Has the schedule of group flights from North America for the summer of 2024 already begun?
Yes, we had a small group yesterday, and we have 14 more to go.
Wow, there'll be 15 total.
It's going to be a very, very robust summer. Staff is going to accompany each of the group flights. We're having welcoming arrivals so that family and friends can greet them. It's going to be a very robust and exciting summer.
Wow, very.
And looking forward to welcoming each of them.
And that's a total of 15, and that's all Newark and Kennedy, or it's other cities around the United States as well?
Those are from Newark Kennedy.
Pretty cool. 15 total.
There are small little pockets from LA, from Miami, but we're dealing with these from these areas.
Right. And so it'd be they're going to be it's going to be a very exciting schedule, and it's not just traveling with, but every time. And I'm assuming that I'm right about this. You can correct me. Every time they land in Israel, not only are there Nefesh personnel, but there are some very excited and usually very, very welcoming and happy family members who are going to be there as well to greet the group.
Correct.
When they get there, those are some of the best scenes, I'll tell you. So that's amazing and incredible. And obviously we salute everybody from North America who's doing what we all should be doing, and that's heading to the State of Israel. Rabbi Yehoshua Fass is with us. If you want to be part of this, after all, the last few minutes we've been talking may have certainly piqued some interest out there. If you want to be part of all this, there's a website, nbn.org.il, nbn.org.il, also 866-4-ALIYAH, 866 the number 4, and then A-L-I-Y-A-H. And you could do what Rabbi Fass did over 20 years ago, which is go with your family and establish a brand new life in the beautiful, incredible, modern State of Israel. And Rabbi Fass, we know there are a lot of challenges. I was saying, in fact, earlier to my listeners that obviously this is the first time you're doing your Parsha Shlach presentation on JM and the AM since the war has begun. And I don't know if that's going to give much of a different perspective on things or not. I don't know how what you're going to say relates to the Parsha and what's happening specifically today. But even with all these challenges, and you're living through it, you, your family, your community, your staff, all the people you interact with every single day, even with all these challenges, you can unequivocally say to the people in this audience, Israel is remarkable, Israel is great, Israel is worth investing with. And I don't mean financially, I mean by moving with family, with communities, and coming there and continuing to build all these incredible areas, neighborhoods, and communities that are sprouting up around the State of Israel. Nothing that's happened in the last 9 months is changing your mind about that. Am I correct?
No, just strengthens my resolve and my pride, pride in my country, pride in our homeland, pride in our nation. The challenging times that we live through have really shown light of the best of what we can be.
Wow. Amen to that. And not everybody always understands that on this side of the world, so we try to convey that to them. And they need to know that you and everybody who says it are 100% sincere about it, even during these challenging times. Rabbi Fass, we always ask you, because Parsha Shlach is the Parsha where the spies, the agents, the advance team that was sent by Moses, that was sent by Moshe Rabbeinu to scout out the land of Israel. We know that the episode tells us that we're going to be reading this Shabbos, that not everybody, in fact, the majority of the scouts came back with question marks, not as favorable a point of view as Joshua and Caleb had when they returned. And that's why we always ask you on to speak to us this week. What are your thoughts for Parsha Shlach 5784?
Thank you for giving me this opportunity, Nahum. But before we jump in, I wanted to know if you're planning to watch the debate tonight.
You know where I am tonight?
Where are you?
Let me pull out the official announcement so I get the families and all the names right. Give me a second. Because it's so funny.
Well, if I was in America, I'd be watching the debate live.
Because it's so funny. Yeah. You may be watching it live in the middle of the night, frankly, you know.
No, I'm not going to. I'll watch some snippets tomorrow. But sure there'll be a highlight reel.
When I got this invitation to the Batalion Dietrich wedding, our dear friend, our dear friends, Ruby and Dr. Stuart Dietrich, their Teddy. Teddy Dietrich, who we know practically since he's born, is getting married tonight, and we are so excited to share in the big simcha tonight in Brooklyn, New York. When I got this invitation, I said to Stacy, can you believe that Dr. Dietrich had the nerve to schedule his son's wedding on the night of the debate? Now, of course, all the young people in my life have suggested ways that I could watch the debate and be at the wedding. But Rabbi Fass, as you know, even with my technical background, I can't pull that off at this age, as you know.
So,
So I will be I will be celebrating with Esther and Teddy, the Kala and the Khatan. We'll be celebrating with them tonight, and then I'm going to have to rely on what so many other people are relying on. I don't have to tell you, Rabbi Fass, when any major event happens in this world nowadays, there's a 3 or 4 minute summary of the entire thing with all the with all the important moments. And I hope that some of the policies regarding the Middle East, I can't imagine that some of the policies regarding the Middle East will not be part of those 3-4 minutes of highlights. So that's what I'm relying on tonight.
Okay, fine. So I'm going to jump right in. So obviously with the debate this evening, even though you're missing it, obviously there's much anticipation and political dissection and punditry. So I thought in light of this excitement, if you call it excitement, I thought of an idea that I'd like to share.
Sure.
And also connecting it to somehow of what we've been experiencing since October 7th. I've been reading, I've been watching, I love this stuff. And in the press, you hear a lot about the debate preparedness and what each candidate has been doing these past few days, you know, to ready themselves. I'm not going to get into that. Mm-hmm. And what each of the candidates needs to accomplish this evening. So in one article I read that a debate expert listed all of the criteria for a debater to be considered the winner of a debate and tips. And amongst them, it was interesting. He highlighted you should anticipate your opponent's arguments, obviously. Organize your thoughts. Arguments should be logical. Listen carefully to your opponent's arguments. Don't just plan your rebuttal when they're speaking. Try to find weaknesses or flaws in their logic. Use credible evidence and sources to support your claims. And refute your opponent's arguments one by one directly. Don't ignore or gloss over their main points. So I was reading this, and actually, with this in mind, when you reread a certain section in Parshat Shlach, certain things seem a bit peculiar. Last night I was at a wedding, and a dear friend of mine, Rabbi Natana Leibowitz, shared with me this thought, and it's in the name of the Eish Kodesh, the Pietas Merevi. The Eish Kodesh points out something very unusual between the debate between Meraglim, the spies, and Kalev. The Meraglim recite a whole litany of reasons why Bnei Yisrael should not enter the land of Israel. Says, right? The land is powerful, the cities are fortified, they are not, they're giants, Amalek is here, Chiti is there, Yevuzi is there, Amori is there, Kanani is there, Eretz Ochelet Yoshvehi, the land devours inhabitants. Now how does Kalev rebut? How does he refute them? How does he tackle each of their points? How does he tackle any of their points? Does he address the arguments? Does he try to find weaknesses or flaws in the arguments? He doesn't. He counters their statements by shutting them down with just a declaration, a charge. They ask Kalev at the army, silence them, the Yoma Alona Alev, Yerashno Taki Echonuchala. We should surely ascend and conquer it, for we can surely do it. He gives a pep talk, doesn't address any of the spies' concerns. He would have failed the debate. And the Eish Kodesh highlights this unique, strange give and take, and stresses that sometimes decisions need not be made with mental gymnastics, with cerebral analyses, but with one's faith and feelings. Purely logical, cerebral decision-making can sometimes lose sight of our deeper personal values, moral commitments, and broader life priorities. Factoring in emotional consideration helps ensure decisions align with what's most important to us. And sometimes, just trusting your gut reaction can lead to better, more authentic choices. And I know, Nachum, as human beings, we often perform excessive second-guessing, and we understandably get bogged down in minutiae, a sort of, as I say it often, and you know, you've heard it from me, a state of analysis to paralysis. But we're sometimes saved by our emotions. Emotions can thankfully provide clarity and courage to move forward decisively. Since October 7th, we've seen an approximate 90% increase in Aliyah interest, and Aliyah applications are flooding our Nefesh B'Nefesh offices. I met Olim that arrived yesterday, and some expressed the sentiment that they made Aliyah despite October 7th, that they were not going to be deterred and change their scheduled Aliyah date. Others claimed that they felt a surge of solidarity and connectivity, prompting them to accelerate their Aliyah. but we're also witnessing a third category. Those who've been sitting on the fence, analyzing, examining, studying each facet of living in Israel to a point that they're stuck in this mental maze that they created for themselves. And now the current events have propelled them forward because they removed so much of those mental cerebral barriers. October 7th created a tsunami of emotional waves, forcing, prompting people to feel, in most cases, stronger than we felt before as a nation or as individuals. Feeling what it is to be a nation, feeling where my heart, where I belong, feeling where we want to contribute, feeling where I want my future and my children's future to be. Usually, unfortunately, purely rational decision-making can create an illusion of total control and certainty that doesn't match reality, and delays and sometimes even cancels fulfilling our own dreams. And don't listen and don't hear me wrong. Of course, this does not say that emotion should completely override logic and evidence. I always say you should plan and you should be strategic and you should be knowledgeable and you do your research and your homework. And the ideal is to find the right balance using both analytical and emotional intelligence to navigate challenging decisions. But in many cases, privileging the heart over the head can lead to wiser, more fulfilling choices. And Kalev's response in the debate with the Meraglim is Alo na'ale v'yarashnota ki'achol tuchal la.
You know, you always make me think when you present on this parsha, and my initial thought is it's frustrating to some of us that, you know, such a small percentage of the spies of the Meraglim had the attitude that they had. And we've discussed this before, you know, 85% of them did not have a favorable outlook on the land of Israel. And I wonder, now that you've said what you've said, I wonder, maybe it is just a very small percentage of people that have that emotional springboard to, you know, to cause them to do something, to make them leap into action. Maybe that's the reality about humanity, or the reality about, you know, those who are, you know, inspired.
The outliers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who are inspired by our tradition, our heritage, etc. So Yehoshua and Kalev are like, you know, that they have it. They've got this piece to it. And I would argue that it's, you know, likely the same thing today. You're seeing a major surge, and that's phenomenal. But it's still obviously, you know, a portion.
A drop in the bucket.
Yeah, it's a portion of the Jewish people. And maybe that's the reality. You know, we've always been, I can't help but think of my dear friend Mayor Weingarten of blessed memory during these moments. I discussed this with him a million times, and we expressed our frustration to each other about the Meraglim. Like, guys, what's with you? Why can't you wake up to the reality? You know, this, but that might be it, that the reality is what it is. And you need that emotional springboard to get you going and to just, you know, jump in. How many times do people on your staff walk into your office and you'll give them an idea and they'll say to you, here are the five reasons why, you know, it can't be done. And they'll stop talking and you'll say to them, okay, now please go do it. You know, like, because you have a vision, you have an emotional need to fill because you know, you know, deep in your gut, as you said, that it can't be done. So a couple of the Meraglim had that, but unfortunately the others did not. But I like to focus at least this morning on the positive with all the people who are in fact doing what Kalev suggested, ignoring all of the naysayers and the naysaying and proclaiming Alona Le, we're going to go, we're going to be there, and we're going to help build the incredible land and state of Israel. And with 15 group flights, there's a lot to be proud of. I don't mean for me to be proud of, I say in general, a lot to be proud of.
No, you can be proud. You're part of this. You're part of this journey with me.
That I appreciate that.
Hey, Nachum, you're on the float, so you're in it.
Yeah, once
there's no turning back.
Once you get invited to the float, my God, that's you
made it.
You're in for the long haul, to say the least. Rabbi Fass, I can't thank you enough. I hope you think of us.
Thank you.
I hope you think of us 6,000 miles away when you're reading Parsha Shlach this coming Shabbat.
Yes.
And
enjoy, my dear friend.
A pleasure. And enjoy your trip to Argentina. I hope you'll have an hour or two to take in some of the sights, I hope.
But the oddity of the community in Argentina is I just found out a couple of hours ago that even though candle lighting is at 5:30, Kabbalat Shabbat, the prayer service is at 7:20, and the meal is at 9:10, the community meal, which I'm eating at. So I'm eating later than I'm doing in Israel and making Shabbos 4 hours earlier than the meal.
You basically got the worst of all worlds.
100%. 100%.
Well, I'll tell you.
What do you do? What do you do between candlelight and Kabbalat Shabbat?
In the world of cinema, your character would now be saying, I just can't catch a break.
Right.
Well, nonetheless, enjoy and continue your incredible
work. Thank you so much. I'll send you an update.
I appreciate that. Kol HaKavod and Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom to everyone. We should hear B'sorot Tovot, the only good news for
amen, people. Amen, amen, amen. The one and only Rabbi Yehoshua Fass, co-founder of Nefesh B'Nefesh. Thank you, Lenny. Thank you, Rabbi Fass. Oh, unbelievable. Always inspiring to hear him speak. He has been an amazing partner. Just an amazing partner. And I am proud that he has allowed me to be his partner in all this.